On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Some understanding that it's lame, it makes it less lame.
No.
I feel like people are going to know we're recording this one on the same day we recorded the last one. Welcome to Talk and Sports from the inside of Little Yellow Submarine.
Doot, doot. We all live in a yellow submarine. No. All right.
Nope. So we wrapped up on the last one discussing, I don't know, everything that had kind of gone up leading up to the day of the entry draft. And I sent you a text and said that all hell was breaking loose, which turned out to perhaps not be the case because I was eventually, that was it once I had sent the text.
See, I got it. I was in the gym and I listened to music on Bluetooth. And so this little thing comes through and I'm like, oh, what's this? Click it over and see, Chicago's tearing down and all hell's breaking loose. And I'm like,
well, at that point, because it was all happening within like an hour. And then it was like, okay, that's it.
This sky is falling radio. What's going on there, Frank?
So did you not respond and saying, hey, you're right. Well, all hell is breaking loose.
Well, I thought, hey, I'm trying to get some work done here today and all this crazy shit's happening. But it all happened, as you said, within like an hour and a half.
Yeah, and then that was it. Let's start with Chicago, because I believe what they were trying to do was get cheaper and failed to do so.
Well, because I was amazed how much money Connor Murphy is making for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right. So you traded one of your – when you look at the numbers, they don't always play together, but Jalmerson and Keith were their two
– top two.
Yeah, as Seabrook continues to plummet, when you play that style, man, it catches up to you in a hurry, it seems, and we've seen it more and more often lately.
Jarmelson.
And so he, you know, his numbers were good pretty much all over the place, whether he was playing with, Oduya at one point, and then he had some time with Keith, and he's keeping Seabrook afloat when they do that thing. And his possession numbers are always pretty good, and at 30 years old, they deal him down to Arizona. Which also opens up the question, and what's Arizona doing? But we'll get to that.
Right, if you deem, because it was, and then they're all sort of swimming together now, right? What came back with Connor Murphy was that Laurent Dauphin?
Yes. And then it was, they dealt Artemi Panarin, to Columbus for Brandon Saad. And I at least understand what they're trying to do on that one.
Everybody does when they trade a 70-point guy for a 50-point guy. That's just a no-brainer.
But, so the thought was, with both of these guys, with Jalmerson and with Panarin, both of their contracts are up in 2 years, and they weren't sure they were going to be able to re-sign them, so value is higher now than it is within 1 year.
Okay, the Saad for 2 years.
The Saad for Panarin deal... as you've mentioned, Panarin, a higher point guy. Both Kane and Taves had gone to management and said, hey, we kind of miss Brandon Saad. But also, his possession numbers much, much better than Panarin. And probably the biggest deal here is Panarin's deal up in 2 years, Saad's deal up in 4 years, and they make the same amount of money. So you buy yourself some time.
And Saad's a 200-foot guy.
Yeah, in theory, if you think that Saad can do what Panarin does, albeit doing it differently, you buy yourself an extra 2 years.
Hey, in the 2 years since Saad's been gone?
Since you've been gone.
How many playoff rounds has Chicago won since Saad was
gone? How about we start with games? 3 playoff games in right. 2 years Chicago
now,
has won.
Now, the flip side is how many series has Columbus won with Brandon Saad? But we don't want to talk about that.
No, that's true. So, like, for me, I at least understand that deal. To me, dealing Hjalmarsson for Connor, that didn't make any sense. I don't like that deal at all. As we shift towards Arizona, I don't know what they're doing because they got older.
They've gotten older.
On that sense. And then they went and made a deal with the Rangers, sent their 7th overall pick. And I have so many notes here, I didn't write down this kid's name. A good prospect.
D'Angelo.
Yes, that's right. To New York for Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta. I think a lot of people were surprised that Raanta wasn't part of the expansion draft, but we covered that on the last show in terms of why he might not have been. He's making $1 million to be, I think you'd have to assume, at least as good as what Mike Smith was doing.
Right? Okay, so he's coming in there to be the starter.
Yeah,
right? I can't remember what the guy's name is, the backup there that was the backup to
Dominguez or something.
Dominguez, yeah. Yes. So it'll be Raanta will take that place. Because honestly, starting of draft day,
yeah.
Man, they had no GM, they had no top line center, they had no starting
GM,
goalie.
They had no coach, no captain. Let's talk about that for a second. Thoughts on Shane Doan?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people kicking them saying that's not the way you treat a... You don't part ways at the end of a mutually agreed upon contract term. I think that's reasonably fair.
No. And I think that you got to at some point, right? To me, it's...
He was doing nothing this
okay, year. Okay. So here's the question to you. Who has more value on the open market right now, Shane Doan or Chris Neal?
Shane Doan.
Really? What are you bringing Shane Doan in for?
What are you bringing Chris Neal in
for? But Chris Neal, you know what it is. You're going to play him 50 games, maybe on a fourth line role. He's going to...
I was blown away by Chris Neal being bitter about his exit from Ottawa. He was on pace for 6 points. And didn't understand why they had no use for him anymore.
No.
He doesn't fight anymore, if you still think that's a thing.
Oh, no.
He doesn't...
He still fights.
Okay.
And he will. This is what I'm saying, though. To me, he is flat out, you know what you're getting with him. If you think you're signing Shane Doan to get 20 goals...
No, I don't.
So what are you doing? What are you signing him on for?
What are you signing Neal for? He is a better hockey player than Chris Neal.
No doubt.
Yeah. No doubt. That's it.
But you know what? He's not going to give you what you're going to have to pay him for.
What are you going to pay him? What would you pay Shane Doan on a one-year deal? Thinking Ottawa maybe wants to take another run here. Maybe Toronto could put him with Matthews as a...
I'm not signing him. To me, Shane Doan isn't going to bring you anything other than you need to bring him in.
I got 1.5 mil for that guy, and that's it. And he'll never take it. So
okay.
No, but that's what I'm saying, right?
Like, but so it was all of these things.
He's better than Zach Hyman. So that's what.
Yeah. No. And if you misunderstood me, to pump Chris Neal's tires.
No, I don't see why I would bring in either. But if you forced me to bring in one, I'll bring Shane Doan.
Yeah. Okay. And to me, it was Chris Neal being able to be that bit part, and it is somebody fleshing out. If you do need a little toughness on that fourth line. If you do, and if you don't play him, right? To me, if Chris Neal thinks he's going to get...
I wonder if he's still okay with that. Like, he kind of burned Boucher heading out of town. I don't know why he didn't play me. You're not good.
Yeah.
Your best days are behind you.
For sure. When you, as a guy, it's just forechecking, right? You're going to forecheck and you're going to fight a bit.
Well, then give me whoever that guy they brought in from Carolina was, I forget, the former Leaf there, former Blackhawk, former...
Where'd they bring him into?
Ottawa. one of the guys who knocked. Come on, you know who I'm talking about. You liked him, wanted to re-sign him. Picked him up from the Hurricanes at the deadline. The Senators did. Stahlberg, thank you for nothing, you blank staring motherfucker.
Well, but what's Stahlberg do? He's not going to knock anybody out.
Like, I don't need him to knock anybody out. I need him to forecheck and penalty kill, which he can do. I
was stuck on the other part. Yeah, I want Victor Stahlberg back on my fourth line.
Right.
That's an absolute, man. Right.
And that's all I'm saying.
Big body who can skate? Yeah, for sure, man. That's why Neil's not back.
I just don't know what Chris Neil still has to offer any team that might be in contention.
I think somebody...
Maybe he can go to a Panthers, take Scott Thornton's job.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. That's what he is, right? Is he's taking that job somewhere, right? On a team who still feels it's necessary. And I still think if you look at the Ottawa Rangers series... Right, I just look at the role Tanner Glass played, right?
And what happened when they brought in Neil to match him? He started taking penalties.
But we also won the games after that. We won the two games following that.
I don't know that Chris Neil. Had much to do with that.
All right, let's put this right in. What about the role prior to Neil coming in that Tanner Glass was playing? He was playing that robust style. And to me, you still need somebody like that. Ottawa didn't have anybody to counter that. And I think there's still a spot in the game for that. Right? You look at what's-his-face in Edmonton, right? And he scored a couple goals. But he'd spent most of the season...
We were talking about like fucking Luke Gazdick or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Gazdick. No, we're talking about... played for the Vancouver Giants, I believe, as a junior. Was a bit more of a scorer. But he had a couple goals. Guys scored a couple shorthanded goals.
I do remember this, but I can't remember his name. It's not there. But I didn't think we would get
it. Cassian.
Yeah. Yep.
So you look at that.
I don't think he played for the Vancouver Giants. I think he was an Ontario kid. Might have been a Pete.
But there's two different Cassians, right?
Maybe. Okay.
Things we think we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
let's circle this back around to Arizona.
Don't Neil, who cares? I think, you know what? You got to part ways.
Also got rid of their coach. Most people think Dave Tippett, I'm one of them, who thinks Dave Tippett's a very good coach, but I don't think it's unreasonable to fire. Now, he had a terrible roster handed to him over and over and over, but
yearly.
When you don't make the playoffs in 4 or 5 years, I don't think it's unreasonable to fire your coach.
Well, did they fire him?
They mutually agreed to part ways, but they're handing him a mighty severance, which means, they fired him, right?
Okay, and I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
But to me, the thing is, I think there's a pile of stuff. You now have one owner down there, right? He seems
to be interfering a lot.
A pile. Yeah. Hello, Eugene Melnick. Like, those sorts of things where I don't think they were of the same vision. They didn't have the same...
Clearly not.
And so I think... Yeah, Tippett saying, if you talk to Kyle Turris, who was drafted and he played under Tippett, Tippett was hard as hell on Kyle Turris. But Kyle Turris says, man, without Tippett, I would never have become the defense of the two-way player that I am today.
Right.
Right? So I think Tippett's left with, he's holding a bag of fucking liquid shit. A paper bag of liquid shit? You're not going to get far with that.
And how many people a year ago and throughout this season... And it's not like they're wrong, but we're saying how many great prospects Phoenix had and that they were on the up and come.
Who, Max Domi?
Yeah, but he's going to be a reasonable, second line winger,
I'm asking.
Yeah, Duclair is going to be down there. Like, is he still there? Strome is there. But they don't have, and I mean, don't worry, because no one does, right? But they don't have a McDavid. They didn't get an Eichel, right? They didn't get an Ekblad. There's no number one defenseman or no number one center or even a number one that says, this is the guy. They have some really nice pieces.
So
they're going to get left behind.
Well, you look at their D, right? They've now added Jarmelson to Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah.
Man,
that's going to work nice. I like that.
That is a fairly nice little starting piece there.
But then what?
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. And again, I don't know what they're doing, right? It looks like they're trying to Because they do this patchwork on the fly kind of.
Yeah, they were rebuild, you go young. And then, hey, here's a career backup goalie, a 30-year-old defenseman. And Derek Stepan's probably pushing 30 at this point, I would think.
And he's hard, expensive. Hard, 6.5.
Yeah.
And hard miles. Well, that's how you end up trading the pick and this. D'Angelo, who is, they're saying, hey, top end skill, maybe lazy, has some issues that he they're not sure.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a project for the Rangers.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So you're getting a pick and this project for a $6.5 million guy and a guy who's going to be your starting goalie. You're like, hey, what's happening there? Well, clearly that's the Rangers trying to get out from under.
Step on
salary.
We probably went, holy fuck, they didn't take Ranta. Now we can get something for him. We expected to lose him anyway. Yeah, so
what you're going
to
get is Stepan off the books.
Yeah. That's how you pair that off. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing. Columbus, I don't really get. I guess they're hoping Panarin goes and I think they're hoping he might actually be part of luring Kovalchuk. There's a lot of talk that Columbus wants him. I don't see that because...
Well, I think you also have, in Columbus, you have a pile of guys playing that Tortorella heavy forecheck, block shots.
Well, I don't think Panarin's going to fit in with that.
No, but I think you need to have a couple of guys. Think of Tarasenko in the Hitchcock system in St. Louis, right?
Yep.
Where you need a couple of guys who you go, fuck, I hate that guy. You don't backcheck like I tell you. Yeah, okay.
I score.
But I'm going to score you 35 goals. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Right, and I think Columbus, I think that's what they're doing. They're trading away from a position of strength, which is forwards who can block shots and play two-way games, for a guy with
looking for a game breaker.
For a game breaker. And I think Panarin...
It seems to be that Chicago was happy to get Saad back, get him cost-controlled for an extra couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. You get 2 extra years for the same money.
Their guys love him.
Well, because in the reality
he's a possession guy. Like, Panarin is not. When you look at what... Everyone said, look what he did for Kane. Kane's numbers are exactly the same in every sense. The traditional ones, goals and assists, and then the non-traditional, the possession numbers, the CF percentages, stuff like that, with or without Panarin. They're exactly the same with him as they are without him. So you go, if they want Saad back and he is a possession driver, then maybe that's what they need, right? But I think in terms of what they're going to do on defense... Ooh, man, they took a wicked hit. This is
And to me, there's nothing. I was surprised, A, by the number of years Connor Murphy's been in the league.
Yeah.
By the money he's being paid.
Yep. Because he's pushing $4 million, 3.8 or something like that.
Well, no, it's a consistent four. It drops down for 1 year in the potential Bettman gloom and doom lockout of 20.
Which we all know is fucking coming.
21 or whatever that
2020.
Is. 2020. Yeah. So. It's his numbers take a drop, but man, he is. Yeah, I don't know what's happening there either. To me, they're looking for cost because he's gone for 4 or 5 more years.
But they're going
to
be worse this year, Chicago.
Well,
I don't think they're as good without you dealt two highly skilled players, right? And what Hjalmarsson does for you on that end, and then what Panarin does, I don't love what they did. But that's what the cap does, right? It takes a bite out of your ass for being good.
And really, to me, and I'm not sure if we've talked about this just off air or on the show, but with Hossa, they're scrapping.
I'm glad you brought that up.
They're scrapping Haas for the year. Haas will never play another game again.
What do you think of this?
I think it's garbage. No, it's not. Like, it's total hijinks.
Really,
and shenanigans,
it comes up,
man.
As he enters those 4 final years at $1 million.
He's not playing for that. And then, so yeah, I have this skin injury, the skin issue, and the reaction to the medication. I can't play. Yeah, they'll trade him away if they want.
Arizona. Looking to get to a floor.
Yeah. Well, he'll be pairing up with David Clarkson, and 2/3 of a great line somewhere.
Off to Vegas.
Yeah. So to me, that's garbage. You know, when you have this guy he's like, yeah, okay, you know what, I'm.
They got the doctors out there and the coach out there saying, this was a thing that he's battled through and he's always worked so hard against it. Yeah, I don't buy it for a second.
I love him, but that's just somebody
that's... This was always the plan when they gave him that deal, and it would die at the end. You'll retire. And then after the last cap, they went, no, you can't do that. And so you'll be punished if your guys start retiring. So
but
they
what
don't
if he's
retire.
Injured?
Yeah, exactly. And that's... I get it because... we're doing it here in Toronto. What happened to Loops, right? What happened to off to Robidoux Island, right? These sorts of things. But it's just shit, right? It's such shit.
So to me, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, don't give me that.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And again, I'm on cap friendly, right? Looking through the Chicago in there. And I'm like, oh my God, he's got 4 more years of making $1 million a year.
Yep.
Oh, and then like the 4 days later, they're like,
my skin hurts.
Yeah. Oh God. And I'm out for the year.
Right.
Oh, I have a bad reaction to the medication. A year?
No. That's Chicago.
I'm like not buying it.
I didn't see it going this way, but we did talk on a previous show that I said teams just line up for some reason to help Chicago out of there. Like, yeah, we'll take your Chris Versteeg, right? We'll take your David Bolins or your Bufflins or your lads. This time it was...
Your Bufflins and your lads.
It was the league who went, oh, your guy's skin's itchy. Well, here's $4 million, $5, $6 million.
Is it flaking and falling off entirely? Are
I
you
don't
bleeding?
Buy it for second.
And to me,
and everyone's out there, this is an honorable player, and the GM wouldn't lie. And you go, fuck you.
No. And when you look at it, just take a look at everybody. Head over to capfriendly.com.
Yeah.
Pull up Chicago.
Yeah.
You look at his salary in the next.
Look at how much this helps.
And you go, ooh, because again, he's at those $1 million. That's pre-lockout.
Yeah.
Where you're able to tack on all these garbage years at the end of the million.
That average down.
Exactly. But he's still, the cap hit is still $5 million or whatever it is. So he's out the door, and if he's injured, oh, it's lovely.
We get a little cap space.
This is it, right? And it's not.
Now, it does cost them a player. Who was still useful, but they knew that was going to happen. This has been the plan for, 12 years, whenever they signed this fucking monster of a deal?
Terrible. And again, great guy. Love him, but he's made...
No one is allowed to retire anymore.
He's not retiring.
That's what I'm saying. Chicago would not let him retire because that would put huge penalties on Chicago. And instead, he's going to be on LTIR for 4 years.
You just got to find some quack doctor who's willing to say you have kidney issues or liver or spleen or sphenoid or whatever your deal is.
What about if...
Who was on crack?
I think you can get out from under.
I bet you that's a viable option. Look at Matt loving his
the new
hot button there.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to hit that baby all the time. Wham!
Let's move into the draft.
Yeah, all those trades. We're hyping up draft day. As we lead right into the draft, and you're like, look at all this stuff. See, now it's starting to happen here. Because, again, I'm listening to the radio at 8 a.m. when the freeze is over.
Right.
Right, and you're like,
Something's coming.
And you're hearing people saying, there's a bunch of trades in the queue, right in the hopper, ready to go.
Yeah.
And
nothing good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Although, we haven't touched on, before we get to the draft, the whole Eberle...
That's true.
For Strome. Hey, and how about the big nut sack on Garth Snow, right? I bet you he can grab two handfuls of bag and still have his nuts out the end. Like, to me, that's
a huge Garth.
Like in baseball, right?
On
a bat, hand over hand, deep to the top. That's Garth's nut sack right there. That's what that is. Whoever can put their hands over Garth's nuts at the end, I got six hands worth. Asking for two first-round draft picks for Travis Hamonic.
Well, we'll get to that. Let's start here, as you said, on Eberle and Strome, because at least that's still
I'm all over the place.
Chronological order. But, man, I think... I don't love this for either team, but I kind of get it. I think the Isles have to be hoping to rekindle a little of that 09 World
Reunited, and it feels
so good. But other than that, you're talking about a two-week tournament. One guy was an Oshawa General / London Knight. One guy was in the dub.
Regina?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, it does. Who knows what that's... But they're trying to find a reason to get Tavares to stay, right? And so you bring in a guy, but he's got a $6 million cap hit.
For the next 3-4 years?
Through age 29. I don't know how many more years. And Strome, I think that's interesting because I think he could play with McDavid. Now, it's going to be
I was talking to Dean.
First-line winger or a third-line center. But I would give him a shot with McDavid. But the big adjustment will be McDavid is so much faster than Tavares, right? Tavares plays a little bit slower of a game. He's not quite as great of a skater. You have to be able to keep up with
McDavid. Right, and I don't know too many guys who are keeping up with McDavid. Right. But I think Strome's a bit more of a skater, too.
I think so.
And so, to me, yeah, if they're trying to get out of from under some cap, right, you are going to take Strome on. And what? Because that's what I'm saying. I think Dean was saying, yeah, they're looking at third-line center. But he does have that ability that I think to maybe...
Well, so now you have the Nuge as your fourth-line center. Like, something's going, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Or Draisaitl's going to move up permanently onto McDavid's wing. Like, they can't all play the middle.
No.
I mean, they could, but it's a waste.
Well, no.
Either Strome or Draisaitl's playing with McDavid.
Right, and I think it's Strome. Right? I think
I would try that, yeah.
I think if you could have McDavid and Draisaitl as your 1-2 down the middle...
Yep.
Pretty good. And if Nugent Hopkins, if that's the guy you choose to keep, and he's you drop him back as a third.
Well, you wonder, right? And we'll forget the chronological thing here. Like, everybody said, you know, you got out from underneath some cap, and then you turn around and you fucking spent it on Chris Russell.
Yeah.
A 30-year-old stay-at-home defenseman, 4 years times $4 million. I hate that deal. I think that's terrible.
And you read the right out of the Edmonton Sun, Terry Jones saying... This goes to show Edmonton's going for it right now.
But look around. Look at what else. We just finished talking about Hjalmarsson and how little you had to give up to get him. TVR got moved. Schlemko got moved. Both for almost nothing.
Yeah, but see,
to say you had no choice but to bring back Chris Russell.
To me, TVR and Schlemko, those are six. Those are six D-men right there.
But what did you give up for them?
Seventh round picks.
So fucking do it and tell, at least show Chris Russell, hey, you can stay, but we're not desperate.
Well, see, and to me, what are you bringing Chris Russell in for?
Well, he's going to play, I would assume, as their number four.
He's a fifth and sixth guy to me.
I was looking at somebody on Twitter today who said, you know, hey, he's clearly an Oiler guy. He goes, we got Griffin Reinhart and the Flames. Oh, they got Dougie Hamilton. We went and got Chris Russell. And they got Travis Hamonic. Let's go Eskies.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because to me, yeah, you got your 12 points that Chris Russell's going to bring you.
Yeah.
And now he blocks shots.
Yeah.
But you're paying him $4 million. And he's not playing in your first. Okay, let's call it. He's not playing your top three.
No. If you have
Larson, like Klefbom, Sekera. Hey, man, I think Darnell Nurse has to have a higher upside than Chris Russell.
Yep. Well, and he's not costing you 40 or okay. 4 mil.
So this is what I'm saying.
I don't like it. I think that's a bad deal for Edmonton, and that's going to hurt them.
That's a handcuffer.
Numbers came out that, hey, what if McDavid wants $14 million? You may regret having given Chris Russell. I'm not saying they'll lose McDavid over, but you're going to have to punt someone else out, right? If he decides he wants $14 million.
Yeah.
Ooh,
well, like I said, we'll see what Draisaitl happens here where you go, got to kick that guy some cash.
What'd you think of the Hamonic deal? First and 2 seconds as opposed to two firsts, which is what they were reporting. There's some talk that, and I don't know that this was intentional, they were clearly out to do it, that the Leafs maybe had driven the price up. They were trying to sell a first and JVR for Hamonic.
I'm taking that. I'm taking a first and a first win in 2018.
I don't know.
But it wasn't this year, so it has to be 2018,
right?
A first and 2 seconds. That's rich. That's rich for Travis Hamonic.
Yeah. Now he's going to play top four.
He
makes that Calgary defense. If it wasn't already, it's getting scary, right? He'll play with Giordano. And then it'll be Brody with Hamilton.
So why make that move if you're Calgary when you have no goalie?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you look around, you know, really good high-end forwards in terms of your Monahans and your Goudreaux. They're not the best in the league, but they're a good group. And then you have an awesome top four starting to look a lot like Nashville, right? And you go, oh, fuck, and that guy's their goalie, just like Nashville.
Yeah. Well,
oh, we're going to get hurt here.
I don't think. Yeah, Mike Smith's not Pekka Rinne.
No, and Pekka Rinne wasn't good enough.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I get where you're going with that. Yeah. And that is an awesome decor that Calgary's building.
Yeah.
Weak in goal still. And you better hope like hell that Mike Smith shows that sort of 2010 Olympic, I think it was 2010,
yep.
Right, where they deemed him good enough. If you make Team Canada, you have to show something, right? So you better hope that 7 years later, after losing for, you know, the better part of a decade.
Over the last 2 years, his save percentage is ranked like 40th.
40th was the number.
Yeah. That's not so
good. Hey, there's only 30 teams, man.
Hey, be fair. There's 31 teams okay, now. They haven't played a game in the last 2 years.
You keep hitting me with that, but I'm like,
yeah.
Man, your team sucks.
Thoughts on... Well, people will be expecting it, so we'll do Toronto and Ottawa here, but the draft
Wait. We've already covered a bunch of other stuff.
Oshie.
Right, if you're going to talk about signings... Ooh,
fucking terrible.
8 years at 5.75 or...
Again, a 30-year-old guy. He put up 50 points over 30 goals this year. I get that, but...
30 goals, 50...
That is worse than the Backes deal, because he plays that similar hard style, and... Washington is about to, if it's not this year, and it may not be, because they're still going to be pretty good, they're going to go off a cliff here. Like, and you're going to be stuck with that. Like, who's picking that? And
I don't mind the dollar value. I hate the term.
And he has a modified no trade all the way through. So you'll still have some options, but he's going to hold his, by the time that's 35, 36, 37, 38, that's awful, awful value. Like you said, I can handle 5.75 for that guy. I might be able to handle a little more for that guy. Maybe Washington couldn't with what was coming up. And so you have to give the term instead of the dollars. Fuck, that's bad. That's right. A bad deal.
And if you look at this
that's
time
last... That's Dustin Brown,
if
right?
If you look
that's,
at this time last year when Boston re-signed Marchand, right? He's getting 6.5, whatever that is.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, to me,
give
that's
me that all day over.
Okay, and to me, that's what I'm saying is when you start looking at the comparables, and you go, right there, man, that's a little less money, but it's way too much term, and for a guy who, man, 50 points.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, you are in a world of hurt, Washington. When you're
only
trying
one
to,
explanation in Washington.
Who was on crack?
Sorry, I'll get past it.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. We have a little more to go here with that.
It's true.
So anyways, I just wanted to, before we got away from trades and signings and whatever else. And again, I think my final statement on that is I really don't mind the money.
Yep.
Term is gross.
I would take that for 3 years.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. I'm willing, TJ, to give you four.
Yeah.
And you know what? At that point, show me something.
Right.
At 34, what do you got left? Right, but
better be more than what Backes had, because that's going to be terrible too for a while. Because they gave him like 5 just last year.
Well, so. And his was terrible.
Yep.
This year.
Yep.
Right out of the chute. So,
The draft. I don't have any really strong thoughts on who went 1 or 2. I don't know enough. I know Patrick had some injury issues. Heeshear was.
You find Heeshear looks like Roger Federer?
A little bit, but they all, Swiss guy, right?
Yeah, with his crazy eyebrows and...
I don't have a lot of really strong takes on this draft. It was just one of those ones that was kind of... Detroit seems to be getting ripped for having made some... You know, that maybe this generation has passed them by. Maybe Ken Holland isn't quite the guy they took Rasmussen. That seemed to be an unpopular pick, but
see, I don't mind that pick. To me, I think he was a guy whose stock had fallen, I think, through the year.
Right.
But I think, I think Rasmussen has a great upside to him. You're right. I don't have a. I like the Finnish guy who went number 3, Huskinen.
Yeah, Heiskanen.
Yeah. Right, to me, I think he's going to be the guy to watch.
To Dallas, yeah.
To Dallas,
and that's
right?
A good fit for them, too, in terms of...
You need a D-man, and Dallas doesn't have to make any moves post-lottery,
right?
So to me, you know what, and I'm a bit fragile, right, in my in my draft takes.
Right? Well, yeah, last year or two, we've brought Nate in here to help us out with those. And
No, but I don't care about that.
I don't need to be knowledgeable.
No. Nate is absolutely junior hockey's Nate's thing, right? Yep. That in CFL, he is. Yep. What I'm saying is I think the two centers, right, when you're looking at Hischier and Patrick, both WHL guys. Nope. No, Q. Sorry,
one's Q.
Q,
one's
for,
dub.
Q yeah. for Hischier.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you start looking at that going, stock rising, Hischier being his 16th on Bob McKenzie's preseason
right.
picks, and right now he went right to number one, and you have people saying, including USA's head coach at the World Juniors, saying Hischier was the best player
yep.
they played against
yep.
in the World Juniors, right? So
I say it's really rare. It's really rare for a long-time projected number one like Nolan Patrick to fall out in the last season, but he battled some injury stuff. He had the hernia situation that held him back for a while, and Hischier kept coming on.
And both our centers, yeah.
Yep, and yeah. New Jersey decided it's where we're going to go, right? And New Jersey or Philadelphia, who would get Nolan Patrick number two, would turn around and make a deal at the end of the first round, sending out Braden Schenn. For Yuri Laterra, which was questionable at best, given some of the things that are... But then you'd look at going, I wonder if they envision Patrick playing a little earlier than a lot of other people do.
Well, and why wouldn't you when he missed half a season due to mono or double ACL?
Yeah, a lot of things going on there. So that was an interesting one. You know, people be expecting, why don't we hit our thoughts on the Toronto and
Ottawa love guys. Toronto. I love Toronto's pick.
Yeah, that was a Liljegren. Yeah, Liljegren. Yeah, it's a home run swing, right? And that was a guy who at the beginning of the season, a lot of people had projected kind of 5-8 maybe range. And he was a guy who ended up with mono, missed a lot of time, but dominated the under-18s the year before and had a real strong finish. I like that. I don't like going, well, this guy's a pretty safe bet to at least be a third liner.
Okay. Foreshadowing there. That's in literature, ladies and gentlemen, that's what they call foreshadowing.
Well, not really, because I don't know much about Ottawa's guy, to be honest
okay.
with you.
Okay, but anyways.
But I like the idea that if he pans out, holy shit, look out.
Well, because if he doesn't. What they're saying is that is a guy from the back end, a Swede, right, with elite level skating. Right?
Yeah.
And so puck possession.
Good passer, right?
And skating.
Good, yeah.
Okay. And so they're saying.
He can skate himself into some trouble and maybe he doesn't make great decisions.
And skate himself
out of it.
Out of troubles.
Yep.
Right? And they're saying, you know, echoes of Carlson. You got the Swede, you have this, the more diminutive size. Yep. He's not a big guy either, right?
6'1", 170 or something like that. Yeah.
So to me, yeah, I love that pick for Toronto, right? And looking at it. And if he pans out anywhere close to Carlson.
Well, sure. I mean, that's a high watermark for anybody, right?
But okay.
But if you assume he's going to Sweden next year, he's going to the Marlies the year after, and when the Leafs are getting into cap crunch trouble the year after that, he's ready on an entry-level deal.
Well, and you'll still be a team out. Loaded full of, you know,
right,
four,
but,
five, and six
but
defensemen.
But after those, yeah, well, okay, yeah. Very nice. You know, he fits in time-wise, too, right? And so you see it. And if it doesn't pan out, then, yeah, it's a bust. But at least you took a swing at something high-end instead of just being, you know, our last three non-lottery picks, because we've been in the lottery now for a while.
You and Edmonton.
Are Gauthier, Biggs, and, fuck, I can't even remember, Tyler Biggs, Freddie Gauthier, and you know, not good.
Okay,
right?
But the stat that was brought up and that was being kicked around, and sorry, you've gone with strictly lottery, non-lottery picks.
Yeah, because we've been in the lottery.
Yeah, sorry. They were talking about the last five picks that Toronto's made.
Yes.
They've all played,
Matthews,
right?
Nylander, Marner, yeah.
Gauthier and
Riley.
Yeah, and so you go, they're all playing for you,
right?
And so those are, that's solid picks. Now, again, you're...
Get out of the lottery stuff, and it gets a little ugly.
Okay, right? But to me, for a team that is where you are, right? To me, that was a great pick.
Yeah,
it's not for now.
Right.
It's not for next year.
Right.
Right. But you are looking at down the road, and what you could get with that. To me, I like that pick. It's a risky pick.
Yeah, for sure. And there were Leaf reporters, Leaf bloggers, whatever, saying, you know, do you tank? This is a year ago. People pushing their articles back out going, should we tank one more year and try and get Liljegren?
Yep. Well, there you go, man.
Like, didn't tank, went hard, he fell. Maybe because he should have fallen and maybe because of circumstance, but you got
when you miss two months of your season.
Yeah, hard to.
And you know what? Anybody who's ever had mono?
Never had it.
Right, well, because you haven't been...
I've never kissed anyone ever.
Yeah, well, this is it. 38 years old, never kissed a girl. I kissed a
dog and I like it. However that goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Maddie reported, or, you know, on draft night, and he's like, can you even call yourself a hockey player if you've never had mono? Like, why wouldn't you draft a guy who had mono?
Licked a couple toilet seats, got a couple cold sores, man. Honestly, love that.
Moving on to Ottawa's pick, Shane Bowers.
Yeah,
I don't know much about Shane Bowers. Okay, nobody, I had seen some people clearly online
Nobody does. Clearly,
I'd seen a couple of things. If you're a Sens fan and you'd like to endear yourself to him or vice versa, he wears the number 15 because Danny Heatley was his favorite player.
God, seriously?
Yeah.
I have never heard that.
He was interviewed by Graham Creech here in Ottawa.
God damn it.
Another strike against. But there's people online like looking at the, you know, his video package that they threw up and it was like grainy.
It was summer hockey with him being playing shinny with Crosby, and they isolated.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowers, Crosby, right? Like somehow,
in case you couldn't tell.
Like somehow them being in the same pickup game makes it better, right? Because McKinnon skates in that same in that same group in the summertime, right?
So did you see? I forwarded on to you. Right after the Ottawa pick is their Chicago pick, and they came up and Kane and Taves did a little shtick there or whatever. So they isolate Jonathan Taves for some reason talking before. And it looks like, you can't quite tell, but it looks like when they announce this guy, he goes, who's this punk? And then you can clearly read Jonathan Taves-Smith going, he looks like an asshole. And Twitter caught it. They're isolating this video and putting it everywhere, right? Like,
and I love that. I love that. Because you know what? All those guys, Crosby, Taves, the guys, you go, oh, that guy's boring as shit.
Yep.
You know.
They actually have a personality.
When there's not mics on and right. stuff, and they're saying all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, that's guy stuff. Look at this guy. He looks like a dickhead. What a douchebag.
Exactly.
Right? Those are the things that I would say, but I would say those out loud. And that's just the way it goes.
On mic. Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, yeah, they announced the pick and they're like, from the USHL, and I'm like, oh, this is another Brian Lee. I know it. I can feel it. You got some American kid playing, and then you go, oh, no, but he's actually Canadian. He's from Halifax, twice drafted into the queue, and declined to go.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, no, he's twice been picked, and they were saying that both McKinnon and Crosby have urged him
To go to the queue.
And he's saying, nope. Well, he's going to play at BU next year.
Yes, I did see that. So, I mean, that's a good program. That should.
So, but to me, obviously, he's got his own idea, what he wants to do. Now, and again, so this is the foreshadowing part of this whole thing, right? You said, you know, it's a home run swing.
Yep.
Right? Whereas the first thing, you got Louis DeBrusque and Sam Costantino saying, this is a safe pick.
Right.
And you're like, oh, nobody wants to hear that. Now, you're drafting 28th, right? But nobody wants to hear safe pick. Because you know what I think? That goes, boop, boop, third line.
Yeah,
boop,
he'll make it, but boop. He's, you know.
Yeah, this is it. He is going to fit somewhere in your bottom six.
Right.
And you go, man, we already have a pile of that. I'd rather see, you know, you swing for it a bit. And they're going, he's a character guy. He does all these things. And so, as you said, they throw the little bio up and they go, projected. And they go, and it said Brandon Sutter.
Right? Yes.
Now, then they went on to say, you know, whereas he's got more of a skill set like Jonathan Taves. And I'm like,
okay, I'm more interested in that.
I'm into that. Can we get some of that?
Wipe Brandon Sutter off the board here.
Well, this is it, right? And who wants that as a comparable?
Right? So two other things coming out of the draft here. Did you see Morgan Frost? Morgan Frost.
The name, he was drafted by
Philly. So this
is late number.
It was late in the first round. They traded someone, maybe the 30th or 31st, something like that. Anyway, he is the son of, not that this matters at all.
Oh, Andy Frost.
Andy Frost, yeah.
Yes.
Q107 and Leafs in-house announcer for a long time. Not that that matters at all, but as a, if you're a Flyers fan, there's an absolute Twitter account you absolutely must follow. It's called Broad Street Bullies, Broad Street Hockey. I'll retweet something from them so you can find it. But they immediately, as people do, started digging through his Twitter account as an 18-year-old. They found something from 2013. So that's 4 years ago. Kid would have been
14.
13. And it just goes, ha, 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 Flyers are shit. And so Broad Street Hockey quotes that tweet and goes, welcome to Philly.
You're going to fit right in, son.
So someone went and looked it up. That was a night they had lost like 7-0 to Washington. And so everyone's going on afterwards. You know, if you're draft eligible and you haven't gone yet, maybe delete your Twitter for the night or privatize it or something because people are going to start looking.
That's the world we live in right there.
The other one, and this is my favorite, Dmitry Filipovich, who writes for Sportsnet.ca, he posted on Twitter during the draft, the biggest loser so far in the draft is that kid that Cale Makar destroys behind the net in his highlight package. And so they throw it up again as Cale Makar. And they've shown this package a few times before he's gone. And yeah, there's a huge hit behind the net. And so the tweet, again, is quoted, and it's just by a guy named Jack Thomas, and it's him, a 17-year-old from the WHL, and all he goes is, thanks. And so the next morning,
that's me, baby, right there.
So the next morning, he has to go back on his Twitter and go, well, that got bigger than I expected, because obviously Filipovich retweeted his reaction, everything. People just loving the fact that, oh, I guess I wasn't drafted, and I'm already the biggest loser in the draft.
That's me who got blown up. Preach.
Yeah, no, some good stuff there. You know, good on the kid for being able to laugh a bit at it, I guess. But centered out by one of Sportsnet's. I miss the TSN guys, man. They're,
well, it's
there's
not
something
the
like 27 they, of Bob's 31 went in the order he said they would or something like that.
And to me, they are the best guys.
Yeah. And they're all working on NBC now. Like, once TSN lost the rights, NBC was like, why don't you come do our coverage? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So to me, and whatever else, right, you have Drieger and you have – but to me, it's McKenzie.
Yeah. And right. I do like Sam Cosentino. I think he knows his stuff.
He does all the Friday night games.
I like Elliot. He's a good insider. He scooped Bob a couple times this weekend or whatever in terms of an insight. But in terms of the actual draft crew – it's much, much better when it's on TSN.
Well, and Duffy, right?
Yep.
James Duffy.
Knows what he's doing. It's all good stuff at that point, right? And
That's a legit, polished hockey broadcast.
Anything else on the draft here this weekend? We're moving into what should be an interesting week.
It was uneventful. There wasn't a pile, right? We had that flurry in the day of trades. Yeah. There wasn't a lot. It was quiet night. Man, it was just people rolling up. We didn't have to see Gary saying, we have a trade to announce. No, and you know what? The last couple of years I've really noticed that I kind of enjoy his...
He's trolling a little.
Right, for sure he is, right? And he's up
come
and he's
on,
like,
I know you
can
more.
Do better than that. Yeah. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah.
Right, like, you're going to boo me? I've been booed. I've had better boos than that.
I hate that, though. I feel like it's... I think he really hates it, and he's trying to pretend he's okay.
Of course
with it.
He... Yeah. Would you like to be... Would you
of
like to roll...
I roll into Thanksgiving dinner at the Robinson House.
Right, and people boo you.
Yeah,
that's how
exactly.
It goes. You suck, Robinson.
Rarely Robinson. There's a lot of them in there. It's much more personal.
Okay,
first name.
That's right on the mat.
Exactly,
you open the door.
Yeah.
You suck, Robinson.
Have you? Yeah. Terrible.
Terrible.
Let's get out of here, I guess. That's Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
Who was on crack?
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.